Are you all ready to travel?
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Does everybody that came here today like to travel? I do.
Oh, I love to travel, Doris.
Well, Pauline, we're so glad that you traveled over here to join us in Studio Classroom at Taipei. And do you like being on advanced programs?
It has been a lot of fun. I'm learning a lot. These articles are great, and I'm really excited to learn something about South America today.
That's where we're going to travel, isn't that right? And Brendan, where are we going to travel today?
We're going to travel to Huilo Huilo, which is in central Chile.
Sounds like a place in Hawaii to me, the way they talk, doesn't it? That kind of a word, is that a Spanish word or not?
You know, I think that's probably more of a reference to an indigenous language than the Spanish heritage.
Mm. It does sound like, doesn't it kind of sound like Hawaii to you, Campbell?
Yeah, it sounds very foreign, but it's
foreign.
It sounds fun, yeah.
But you know, you don't know where it is when you hear the name. Right. But where is it? Where is this place?
Well, it's in Chile, which is in the southern, very southern part of South America. So you're getting close towards the Antarctic.
That's right. It's on the west coast. I'm glad we have a map here. If you have the magazine, and I hope you do, or at least you're looking at it on your smartphone, you'll see a picture on there, and you can see exactly where it is. It's nice to kind of figure out where these places are. Mm-hmm. But when I looked at that place, I thought, oh, that's so far away. It's quite far away from Asia, isn't it?
It sure is.
It's a long ways to get over there.
It's pretty far away from a lot of countries, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from America, you know, you've got to cross the equator, so you're going at least halfway around the world at that point.
I know. So it's a long ways from everything, so I don't know if any people listening in today are going to go there, but after hearing this about it, you might think it'd be kind of fun to go there sometime. What do you think, Campbell?
Yeah, I think reading articles like this reminds me that the world is a lot bigger than I think. You know, sometimes I get very focused on just my own little world here in Taipei, and I forget that there are lots of other places that I've never seen.
Well, and besides that, it makes us realize that there's a lot of beauty all over the world.
Yes.
And so it's nice to find out about it. And that's what we're going to do for the next 2 days, aren't we?
That's right.
It's going to be great.
Good. So what page are we going to start on today?
We're on page 23.
Page 23, the travel article. And we're going to read page 23 right now. So read along with us.
Huilo Huilo Wilderness Park, not your typical wilderness park. Huilo Huilo in central Chile is a rare temperate rainforest, a 250,000-acre preserve in the foothills of the Andes Mountains. Atypical characteristics. The UNESCO-designated biosphere is a park like Yellowstone or Glacier National Parks, a protected biological reserve, but it's also a tourist resort, a for-profit business. Here on the border between Patagonia and the Lakes District, ecotourism is booming. If any doubt remains, Huilo Huilo's tourist map, a Where's Waldo visitor guide, proves the point. Done up in comic book colors and crowded with cartoon figures, it's chock-a-block with visitor services, nature trails, ski slopes, trout streams, and hotels built to blend into the undergrowth.
Thank you, Lois, for reading that for us. And now we're going to look at the title again. Now, it says this is a wilderness park. But it also says it's not your typical wilderness park. What is a typical wilderness park anyway, Brendan?
Well, that's not entirely something that I know for sure. I mean, I thought most wilderness parks were pretty much the same, where you have, you know, an area of land that is very natural and has not been developed very much, and you might have a building that has trail paths that you can hike and some information about the park and the animals there, but
not much.
You know, not really that much to do there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not much to do. Not much actually developed
Right. Mm. Well, when I think of a wilderness park, I often think of places that have mountains because it seems like, you know, people like to hike around in the mountains. What do you think of, Paula?
Well, I'm from Montana in the United States, and there are a couple of very famous parks there. They actually mention them in our article. Yellowstone National Park and Glacier National Park are in Montana, my home state. And right, they are really heavy on mountains and nature and animals, and it's really about the hiking and the camping. Maybe there's the only development really that's done is some camping sites for people to put up tents and just enjoy nature, but there's not a lot of hotels or other big activity.
Nothing to do much, but just the nature, right? What about you, Campbell?
Yeah, and as Pauline was saying, a lot of nature parks, it's just the nature, you know, it's just the wilderness. There's not too much for you to do there. But the difference with this Wila Wila Wilderness Park is that they have actually a lodge and they have a lot of activities that you can do, so it's not your typical wilderness park.
Well, let's hurry up and find out what they have, what makes it so different. And this is in central Chile, and it's a very rare means not usual, temperate rainforest. Now, rainforests are always interesting. Mm-hmm. We have a rainforest in Washington State, mm-hmm. and there's rainforest in the Amazon. There's rainforest in Malaysia.
Yeah.
So, well, this is not a regular one. It says it's a rare temperate one.
Yeah.
Now, what made that so rare?
Well, usually rainforests are very hot and humid. So the fact that it's more of a temperate, you know, just means that the temperatures are mild and they're not too hot, not mm-hmm. too cold. This is rarer than usual.
Right. Well, that's the way the one in Washington State, too. That's very temperate, too. But then you get down into Asia, sometimes they're, you know, in the hot areas. It's a little different, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Well, another thing here that says this is a preserve means they've saved this place out for people to see in the foothills of the mountains. You see, the Andes Mountains.
Yeah, the Andes Mountains are a pretty well-known chain of mountains in South America. But unlike, say, the National Parks in Yellowstone Glacier, where the preserve is actually in the mountains, this is at the foothills, so at the base of those mountains is where you find this rainforest.
Right. Well, it talks about things here that go on to the next paragraph. What does it tell us in the next paragraph?
Well, it says that there are some atypical characteristics, and this place is a UNESCO-designed biosphere, and it's similar to what Pauline was talking about, the Yellowstone or Glacier National Parks, and it is a protected biological reserve, which just means that the nature there is protected, and so there won't be any kind of development in that area.
Right. That's always important, because when things get overdeveloped, then the animals get pushed away, disappear, and the whole thing changes. So we have to save some places, don't we?
Yeah. Now, another thing, though, that is worth mentioning is in the beginning of this section, it says atypical.
Right.
Atypical is something that I've heard used quite often just as a word. It just means not typical. A in front of an adjective usually just denotes the negative, so it is not typical.
That's a good point, right. It's not your typical one, okay.
And in this case, if you read in the next sentence, it says it's also a tourist resort for-profit business, and that's not something you normally see at Yellowstone or Glacier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're just normally protect the nature, protect the ecosystem.
Right.
You know, you have maybe some information, but it's not like a for-profit tourist thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, well, and they probably need the money.
Yes, well, I think this is great because a lot of times we do think of tourist resorts as being kind of the opposite of a nature review reserve, that it is usually the thing encroaching on nature and maybe doing more harm than good for the animals and the natural resources there. But here we see where they have blended those two together, where they are, like you said, still being able to bring a profit and bring a service to tourists who want to be able to see this amazing area,
mm-hmm.
but in a way that is still preserving and taking care of the nature that's so attractive there. And that's really what ecotourism is all about. That on the last sentence in that paragraph we're on, it talks about ecotourism is booming, and that's this industry that's trying to blend the resort tourist side of business with the desire to protect the nature that's there.
And that's very important.
Yeah.
And it tells us exactly where it is. Now, most of us don't know that much about South America, so if you say it's between these two districts, you just have to look on a map to do that, because, you know, we're not that familiar with that area, are we?
Right.
But it is important to remember that when we have tourism, we don't want to destroy nature, and so ecotourism is quite popular, and it's important.
That's right. It says that it's booming, which just means that this industry is growing, and more people are participating in this industry. So, in a sense, it's kind of an atypical wilderness park, but it's also an atypical tourist resort, right? So it's kind of a combination of the both.
Well, and you know, if you're not sure where it is, they told us here, but if you still don't know, then you have to look at one of these tourist maps. And I never think about Where's Waldo as being a visitor's guide. But that's kind of unusual. That's sort of a comic thing that, that people do just for fun.
Yeah, I remember doing Where's Waldo when I was a kid. It's just one of those... I think
comic pictures, right?
Yeah, cartoon pictures with lots of things happening on the page, and you're trying to find this one guy with a crazy hat, I think.
Yes, that's right.
I remember Where Was Waldo. I could never find the guy.
I could never find Waldo.
It was...
He's very hard to find. Well, that's the point, you know.
But I actually, it's a good thing, though, that you can't find him in this case, because when you have the tourist map, what does the resort want you to do? It wants you to look at the map, and it wants you to take in the information. And it wants you to see what they have to offer.
Right.
So if you're busy looking around for this guy, you're going to be staring at that map for a while. And you're going to be looking at all the things you could
possibly
do.
Is he here? Is he there? And all those places. Yeah, that's true, yeah. So it's done up in this comic book colors and crowded with all these cartoon figures. And I think that makes it kind of exciting. And it's quite different, isn't it? Than a lot. And when it says chock-a-block, that's just a phrase. It just means it's really full of all kinds of things. And these are some of the services. What are the services that they have there then, Campbell?
Well, they have visitor services. They have nature trails, ski slopes, trout streams, and hotels that are built to blend into the undergrowth. So they kind of are a part of the ecosystem and don't kind of stick out.
Well, that's really not a typical one. It's got a lot added to it. So let's go on and find out more about it. Go to the next page now, and let's follow along on the map and read down through line 15.
Follow along on the map. Here is the Rhino Fungi Lodge, the Mushroom Queen, a fat round shape resting on a cement stalk. There is the multi-sided Nathophagus Hotel and Spa, also known as the Baobab Hotel, with a tree growing in the dining room. Guest room doors opening onto a spiraling corridor and an activity desk offering an infinite array of outdoor adventures. The Montaña Mágica Hotel, the Magic Mountain, connected to the other hotels by a covered boardwalk, was the owner's first experiment in rustic design. The result is a moss-covered, cone-shaped, tree-like building with inset windows and a brook spilling off the top. Made almost entirely of custom-hewn local wood, its giant logs, thick beams, and untrimmed board paneling are a one-off work of art.
So, when we follow along the map, we can find out some very interesting things. What can we find out here?
Well, we find the Rhino Fungi Lodge, and it's called the Mushroom Queen.
That kind of sounds strange. Mushroom Queen Lodge. Now, fungi is the, what is that anyway?
Fungi is the plural of fungus, mm-hmm. being mushrooms. So somehow this lodge is taking inspiration from the mushrooms that grow there in the rainforest and have modeled their hotel after it. So
it's
a very unique design.
Where are you staying? Well, I'm staying in a mushroom. The mushroom lodge is kind of a, you know, exotic name.
Yeah. It certainly is. Very unique.
Is Reno the Spanish word for queen?
Actually, you would pronounce it Reno if you were pronouncing it in Spanish, and it means... They're kind of. It really means rain, like royal rain. So the rain of the mushroom.
It's nice that Pauline knows Spanish.
That's right. It seems that they took this name because the way it was made, you have this this cement, as they call it, a stalk with this large, fat, round shape on top. So it looks like you are staying in a mushroom,
well,
which almost
fun.
Sounds like something out of a fairy tale to me.
No, it does, right? But anyway, it explains it a little bit more. It's kind of a different thing. It's got all different sides to it. This is multi-sided, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this multi-sided Nothofagus Hotel and Spa. Anyway, multi-sided just means that the building has more sides than you would expect to see.
Right.
So that's probably octagonal or has many more sides. It's a strange shape, and it must be very interesting to see and look at.
Right, and there's a picture over there I think in the next page. So you can look at some of the photos if you have the magazine, and they make it a little clearer than talking about it. So pictures do speak well, don't they?
Yes.
So you can find out there's some interesting designs and different places here. And it goes on to tell us, you know, that there's a tree growing in the dining room. Now, I always like that. I've been to places where a tree is growing inside a building, and it's kind of exciting. And there's a mall in Portland, Oregon, with this great big tree right in the middle of it, growing right up there. It goes out, so it's kind of fun. It makes it more seem like you're outdoors, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. I love it when we're able to blend our city life with nature in a way that seems like it's really complementing each other, and that's a perfect example.
Right. Yeah, and this, you know, tree-like building, and we're going to go on and find out more about it because this is quite an exciting place, isn't it? What do you think about that place? Would you like to go and visit that?
Yeah, I love, you know, going out to the woods every once in a while and having, you know, a cabin, and this sort of thing seems like it would be right up my alley.
Well, and the thing is, they've used local materials, like it says down here in line 13, made in custom hewn. It means cut from local wood. And we do a lot of that in Asia, too. We use certain types of trees, and we can make tables and chairs, and they look kind of more rustic. And then we do a lot of bamboo. Anything natural makes it seem different, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's great that they're trying to really pull from the natural resources and local art and local, just everything is connected to the area that this place is located in. And I think that's really important. They're not importing, you know, furniture from the States or from somewhere far away. They're using what they have there to continue to build upon this theme of enjoying the local area.
Right. And I think the idea also is that, you know, all this nature and all this wood creates unique furniture, unique works of art. So it's not all cookie cutter, mass produced. Right?
I
so
like a lot of
different
things like that instead of plastic and things
exactly.
like that, you know, that are sort of modern. But I think this is so nice. Giant logs and very thick beams. Reminds me a lot of skiing lodges, even in the States they have that. And untrimmed board paneling. So they just make it look very natural. It's kind of like a one-off work of art. One-off is not that common, but what does it actually mean?
Well, I had to look up one-off because it's not a common phrase we use, but the common phrase that is its synonym would be one-of-a-kind. So
that's one-of-a-kind.
It means it's very unique, one-of-a-kind work of art.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you'll be taking a lot of photos if you go there. You'll be, you know, sending to your friends all over the world. You might want to go down there. It looks pretty good. But let's find out more about that. We have another paragraph that we haven't read. The last two paragraphs, let's start in line 16 and finish reading today's part of the lesson.
On one corner of the map, a 125-foot waterfall rushes over a fractured rock. In another corner, a pair of horseback riders canter across a meadow. Forest Trails, the Rio Hoy, and Lake Piriwako promote hiking, fishing, kayaking, easy and risky whitewater rafting, birding, and horseback riding. At the map's upper edge, an ice climber scales 7,946-foot Mocho Shoshuenko's glacier, while a skier swooshes down this active volcano's snowy slopes. On the volcano's lower forest canopy, zip lines mark the spot where, as I was soon to discover, five dizzyingly long cables straddle deep, dark gorges.
Now, we're talking about looking at the map. You can see what there is here. But if you want to go there, then you don't, you know, you just follow the map. But when you get there, you see a 120-foot waterfall over this rock. It's kind of broken off kind of rock. That would be something just to look at. People love to go and see waterfalls, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they have so many nice waterfalls, so many places in the world.
And we see a picture of that waterfall on the left over there on page 24. So mm-hmm. It looks pretty amazing.
So another corner, not of the park particularly, but in the map they show you this. What can you see in another part of the map?
Well, they say they're a pair of horseback riders. So not only do they have this gorge with this rushing waterfall, there's also apparently a beautiful meadow where you can do horseback riding.
That would be kind of fun. You know, you get tired of hiking all the time, well then ride a horse for a while.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I've ridden horses before, and it's not exactly necessarily as relaxing, you know.
Just if they're kind of wild horses.
Well, there's that, but also the horseback riding just is still a workout. It uses different muscles. There's a lot of strain from the horse moving,
yeah.
You know, underneath you. So.
Feel better than riding camels. They're harder to ride than horses.
I would not know.
But that would be fun for some people, mm-hmm. horseback riding. That would be something different, you know. And this is the horses canter across the meadow. That's kind of the way they run at a steady pace,
right.
Is the canter, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think canter isn't...
It's not running really fast,
yeah.
But it's not walking.
Yeah,
so we say the horses canter. It's kind of the way they walk, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah. I don't think people canter. Only horses canter.
Yeah, only horses, right. Really. Yeah.
People jog.
Right.
Occasionally you might describe them as trotting, but that's very rare.
We stroll along and they canter along, right? Well, and then there's these forest trails and so forth because they have hiking and fishing and everything, even kayaking. That's really unusual, isn't it?
That sure sounds like fun. Although I was really drawn to the idea of doing whitewater rafting.
Would you like that?
I would.
Said it's risky.
Well, they said they had both, right? Easy and risky. So I'm assuming there's some areas that aren't quite as risky. So maybe I'd start with the easier ones and then decide if I was up for the risky ones.
What about you, Campbell? Would you like that?
Yeah, I think I enjoy outdoor activities every once in a while. So I think whitewater rafting. There's whitewater rafting in Hualien where you...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of places that have that. It's fun. And then, of course, birding, just bird watching, that's always good. I love bird watching down in Australia. They have so many kinds of birds down there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they have a lot of birds. Every area of the world has their special kind, don't they?
Yes, indeed.
And then goes on here to the map's upper edge. What do you see up there in the upper edge, Pauline?
Well, it says that there are ice climbers. So people who are scaling these glaciers, that sounds scary to me.
That's kind of dangerous, I think,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's funny. That's the thing I would kind of be excited to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk about walking and the way the cantering, but you can swoosh down the mountain.
Yeah.
What does a swooshing mean?
it means to ski downhill.
Sliding in the snow, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Active volcano, snowy smoke. You could just kind of swoosh down or slide down on the snow. That can be dangerous, too, though, if you're not careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like this place has a lot of different climates. You know, you've got
the
rainforest, and then you've got the snow, and it's just really, it sounds really interesting.
But we mustn't forget the last thing today. We have the canopy zip lines. Now, zip lines are popular now all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like you get to fly through the forest. Mm-hmm. You're not actually flying. You're attached to this, you know, this wire.
You used to sit in a little kind of like a
harness.
Seat.
Yeah, a harness or something. Not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a bucket. You know, I've seen some zip lines where you're actually going head first.
Oh, yeah, there's different kinds, yeah.
You know, clipped
like
on
your
back.
I like the kind you sit in the little seat. That but the zip lines, the lines just go over, and you can go over all of that. You can see all of that.
Right.
And they have these big, long cables that go across. When you straddle something, it goes across the deep, dark horses.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That would be fun.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to do that one, Paul?
Oh, I would love it. I've done the zip lining before in Costa Rica, where I had lived before. It's it's a very famous place for zip lining. It's one of the first places that did zip lining as a part of ecotourism.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a lot of it there, and every time I did it, it was a thrill. I love having that bird's eye view of the canopy.
You're not afraid of being
in
the heights or anything?
No, I trust the cables.
I think ballooning is better. But anyway, Campbell, have you ever done any of that?
Yeah, I went zip lining in Thailand. It's a lot of fun. You feel like you're flying, because you really are just strapped in by a harness. Yeah, you just kind of have to, like, trick your mind to think, okay, it's safe, you know. If you think too much, then you kind of get really scared.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think it's really fun. And
you take pictures when you're there, or were you just hanging on too tight?
I think it's a little hard to take, because you're going so fast.
Okay.
You know, I'd be afraid to drop my camera.
Yeah. That's true. Well, we're going to talk more about that, because we have another day on this article, and we're going to look at the photos. There's some nice captions under them. I do hope you all have the magazine, and I hope you'll be with us tomorrow when we have day two. Will you all be back here with us in the studio?
Yes.
Right? Sure will.
Yep. See you tomorrow then, and we'll take our trip down there again to Chile. So have a nice day today. Don't do anything too dangerous, but be sure that you pass on this information to your friends. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.